listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we're honored to be here with you. We hope that you're able to stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon, and we've been on for 18 plus years, and so we're glad to be back here doing this program. Had all this sickness, and we're working our way through that, but we thank you for all the prayers that people have been praying for us, and pray for our finances also, as I mentioned, about the expenses and all for the medical and all, but God's going to take care of it somehow.
He's taking care of it.
So we love you all, and we're honored to be back here in this position with you on the program, Raising the Standard, and we're doing that. And so we're going to continue to talk about this time of Purim today, and there's so much in it that we can glean from for us, so many principles and patterns for us to learn and glean from today that we can walk closer with God and see what two wonderful people, Esther and Mordecai, accomplished for God because they were obedient to Him, listened to what He had to say, and they overcame, and they saved the whole nation of Israel at that time. It was those people that were in the Persian Empire. And so we're honored to be here with you. Pastor Donna might have a couple things to mention before we start. I don't know if she's got something to announce or anything here, but we're honored to be here with you on another Saturday afternoon. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Like we tell you every week, if you can't, well, we do offer CDs and tapes. All you have to do is all we ask for is a love offering made out to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and our zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Let us know what date it is, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. So we didn't mention our book last week.
What'd you say, 3-4?
What, 34995 is a zip code.
Okay, that's right.
We didn't mention our book last week that I've got. It's available. You need to get some more of those printed. We're getting low on those again.
Yes.
God's prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah is revealed in the appointed times of the Lord. And that's wonderful. Good teaching and a lot of years of study. And you can glean on any particular appointed time, and you can see all the key things about it, the historical aspects, and also all the prophetic aspects and all those appointed times that God put in place, even the Sabbath. You know, there's actually eight of them if we look in Leviticus chapter 23. But the seven ones revolving that God's put around the calendar, that revolves around the lunar calendar, they all had a historical meaning, but they also have a prophetic. So all of them have a prophetic shadow, picture, pattern to show us about Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. So stay tuned in. You can learn something about the book of Purim. And maybe you'll have some questions. If you do, you can always call us. And I'll let Pastor Donna, she's got probably got a couple things she wants to mention before we start. doing the teaching on this again.
Praise God.
We got into it kind of heavily last week, but we could probably go back and touch on some key things
Hallelujah.
That you all would like to know and understand. Okay, Pastor Donna.
Well, we're just blessed to be here. And, you know, we all go through something, you know, but we have to trust God. And we can't worry, because worry brings fear, and fear is a sin.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, to have fear, the Bible says that He hasn't given us, God says He hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Hallelujah.
But of what? Power.
Power,
love,
and a sound mind. So what's the power? The anointing of the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
That's right. And then we walk in the love that God wants us to have. And we have a sound mind because we know the Word of God.
We must have the love of God.
That's
amen.
Right.
And that means a loving God too. Not just and loving your neighbor. You know, Jesus, what Jesus said, love God. We've got to love Him with all our heart, soul, might, and we love each other. Love our neighbor. Love those that God has placed around us. You know,
that's
we are to love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we all might be saved.
That's
might
it.
Be saved.
Yes,
it's
right.
A choice. We have to choose.
That's right. So, He's the only way.
So we are, what am I going to say, recovering. We are getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Gene is getting stronger every day. I am getting stronger. We're still going through some trials, and we're still having to have tests.
Went out for a long walk
but
today.
But you know what? We look to God first.
Amen.
We listen to the doctors, but it comes down to we have to make a decision.
That's right.
And so I have to make a decision for myself. My husband has to make one for himself. And, you know, those of you who are listening, we have to finally make the final decision. And, you know, we can only do that if we hear from the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
So we have to be able to hear from God. Because, you know, God still speaks.
Sure does.
Well, before we start, Pastor Gene, I'm going to mention our telephone number. And also, you can listen to us by way of the internet,
mm-hmm.
wherever you live in the world. So, or you could tell your friends also about this radio broadcast, because it's on the internet and it goes everywhere. And that's a real blessing, isn't it?
Sure is.
And it fulfills a prophecy that we were given many, many years ago. That this would go out and touch many people. People that we may never hear from. People that we may never see.
That's right.
But you know what? The sound of the voice goes on and on and on. And actually, you can even listen to what we talked about last week.
That's right.
Because we talked about Purim last week a bit. You can go to your actually on your telephone, your device. Whatever you might have. Computer, device, tablet. Go to www.wcno.com
mm-hmm.
and just download their app. They have their own app. Download their app and you can listen to WCNO radio station worldwide. And you know, if you want to go to the program guide, just go on the program guide and you can go to Saturday and you can see when we're on, and there's hundreds of teachings that you can listen to. And of course, there's a lot of music, a lot of great music that Pastor Tom Creighton plays, and the people that work at the radio station here in Palm City, so in Stuart, Florida. So anyways, that is good. And you can also go on, of course, some of you are listening to us right now, and your radio is you're probably traveling down the highway. And that's on 89.9 every Saturday at 12 noon. So we're blessed to be here. And I want to give you our telephone number, because we do have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. We're 007 agents, aren't we?
Yeah.
And these 007s are, you know, a zero just holds a place, doesn't it, Pastor
Gene?
Yeah,
sure does.
You have two zeros, seven at each end. Picture that, seven at each end and two zeros. So God is asking for perfection, but He's put those two zeros in there because we can only trust in the Lord. He's the one who brings completion and perfection.
That's right.
And so, you know, I think God prophetically gave us that telephone number too.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, you know,
way
two
back.
Him and two of us, we are a team. We work together.
Mm-hmm.
He's a apostolic and I'm prophetic, and we work together as a team. And well, that's what God wants. He wants teamwork, and He wants husband and wives to work together. He wants families to work together. He wants our nation to work together.
Yeah.
We talked about that a little bit last week. We have to come together as a nation, but we have to look first to the one who speaks to us. Well, where does he speak to us from? Some people say, I don't hear God. Does he speak to us out of nothing? Well, we can't see God, can we?
No.
He's invisible. We can't see him.
But we can learn to hear
and
his voice.
And we can learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. Yes, you know, Lord. Moses had to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. Many people in the Bible had to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. How about Samuel?
Yeah, when he was a little child.
Samuel learned to hear the voice of God when he was a small
child.
Boy.
That's right.
You know, and even Eli, he didn't even realize it until finally he realized that Samuel was hearing from God. And it took a while for Samuel to do it. 3 times, I believe it was. But, you know, once you begin to hear the voice of the Lord and you get sensitive, so you have to get into that place. I would call it that zero place, mm-hmm. where you get rid of all the stuff out around, all the confusion. You know, we've been talking about a little bit about the year of the whirlwind. I think we're still in that year of the whirlwind. You know, so in a whirlwind, when you have, like, say, let's think about Florida. When we have a hurricane here, if you get in the center of that hurricane, right, Pastor Gene?
Right.
There's
calm.
It's calm. It's peaceful. There's no wind. Mm-hmm. It's silent. It's totally silent. And so, you know, and so you think, well, the storm's over. But you know what? The storm isn't always over. No, it's not always over. There's always some kind of storm trying to hit people. Mm-hmm. The enemy is out there to kill, steal, and destroy. He always wants to bring a storm. You think, oh, it's peaceful now. Thank God. Well, you know what? Stay in that center of that place, mm-hmm. in that place, because there's always a storm around the corner and you don't know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But we have to stay in that place of where there's calmness and peace. And so I just happen to see that with those two 7007, you know, mm-hmm. we got to both hear from God, right? And God said, and 7 is God's what number?
Perfect number. It's number of completedness.
Number of completion. Yeah. Jesus completed everything, so
sure
we
did.
Can have that completed number. You know, it's a Sabbath day. Today
right.
is the Sabbath.
Right.
God completed everything. He made that example back in Genesis 1 and 2. He completed everything, and he rested on the Sabbath. So here we got this 7 and the 2 zeros. We got to find that place of rest. And you're not going to find the place of rest outside of the calmness. You got to come into that place of where it is calm. So that happened to bring us to my telephone number, area code 772-285-7007. And I guess I'll finish this little story. The 2 is for you and me, Pastor Gene and myself. And the 8 is because of new beginnings. 8 is always a number for new beginnings. You know, and actually 8 has 2 zeros, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Put together. They're joined.
They stack on each other, right?
They're joined. We are joined. He's the head, you know, and I'm the wife, so I come under his authority. So we move together as a team. You know, Adam and Eve, they were a team.
Sure.
You know, God didn't take a bone out of Adam's foot or out of his head, but out of his side, so they could go walk together, like
side by side.
The 8, the double 8. And so even the infinity also is a sign. Some people say it's demonic, but, you know, I think it depends on how you're looking at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has a way you can look at it where it could be godly or demonic. You know, infinity means what, Pastor Gene?
No ending.
No
ending. On and on.
And is there any ending to God?
Nope.
And people say that things are still happening in the universe. I mean, God created all those things.
That's right.
It's just that people are starting to find different things because they have stronger telescopes and all this other stuff, you know. But God is always doing something. He's always working.
And they never give God credit for any of it.
So here we have this 8, new beginnings,
right.
And then the 5. The
right.
5 is a very important number. I love the 5. The 5 is a hey in the Hebrew letter. And it means
grace. God's grace.
So God has given us grace. Amen. So 285-7007.
I was thinking about what I shared a little bit on Sunday morning at church when we got back to church for the first time. I really believe there's going to be some kind of a turmoil come in this nation. And if you watch the news and all see what's going on, you can see it kind of manifesting. But see, God wants to warn us that we're to stay in that place that Pastor Don is talking about. In the still of the storm, in the middle of it, and we'll be safe there. So we can't be shaken or panic or anything. We're just going to have to trust God. And we know things will happen. We're going to go through things whether we like it or not. I'm going through this thing with my hip. I never thought I'd have to go through this, but here I am. But
here you are. Here we are.
This is going to pass as well one day. And so we just have to stay in His peace and know that His plan is always underway, and that if we get outside what He's wanting us to know and understand, well, then we're going to have total turmoil in our lives. And this is what causes all the disruption with families. And so we want to stay in the peace of God, don't we?
And we, you know, we learn by examples.
That's right.
And the Bible has, Jesus is the only example we have. But there's another word in the King James Bible, which it's examples.
Examples.
E-N. And so, you know, Paul was an example. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ is the example, E-X. But we are the examples of who? Of Christ.
Amen.
Paul was an example of Christ. So we're only to follow those who are following Christ. And Christ, Jesus Christ teaches the truth. Yeshua HaMashiach. Mm-hmm. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the only way. He is the life. He is the light of our life. There's no other way. So we have to follow Christ. And so that we have all these examples, and Esther, the book of Esther, and also Mordecai, they are both examples of what people should do as they follow God.
Amen.
People should do as they follow God. And you mentioned that, you know, God's not mentioned anywhere in the book of Esther.
Not one time.
Well, you know, we went back to church for the first time for a few hours last Sunday, and Pastor Gene, you know, he was walking around on his walker, and, you know, he just kind of took off. I thought he was key, and because this medication he's taken, it causes a little bit of confusion. I mean, he's taking these antibiotics twice a day, and this PICCOLINE, which I have had to learn to put in his arm. And, you know, I spent every single day, every night with him in the hospital.
Yeah.
And near the end of the second week, I was getting weak and tired. And you know, one of the nurses gave me a hard time because I was there.
Yeah.
But I had already gotten permission before we even went to that hospital that I would have a place to, I would have a comfortable chair to sleep in.
That's right.
And that I would be there. But, you know, she didn't like me being there.
Yeah.
And one day before I happened to pass out, the day that I passed out, that day she called me the official nurse. I think it was sarcastic, you know, now that I think back about it. And she took her pen, her tag, and she put it on me. And so I said, take a picture. So I have a picture of that. And it's interesting, my daughter, Rebecca, who came down, bless her heart. She loves her parents so much. We have such a wonderful daughter and such a wonderful son, Rebecca and Brian. And she came down from Jacksonville, and she reminded me a few days ago, because she's back home in Jacksonville. She says, Mom, remember, they said you were the official nurse, because I didn't think I could do this PICCOLINE. You know, it troubled me the first time I saw them draw blood out of this PICCOLINE he has, and I felt like I was going to, you know, kind of faint. But I did actually faint on my husband in the hospital, ended up in the ER. Then the next day, I fainted again on the sidewalk, and I ended up in an ambulance going back to the ER at the same hospital he was at. I ended up...
Yep.
Being admitted on the second floor, and he's admitted on the third floor. And so here we are separated, you know, and so I have got situations I'm dealing with, but we have to trust the Lord. I was there for him. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden I get attacked, you know, but we have to continue to trust in the Lord, and we have to, maybe we go have to do some tests, go through some things.
Some trials.
But, you know, we have the final decision. We have to come to that final decision and have the Holy Spirit lead us in what He wants us to do. Because we can all hear. I want to get back to these double zeros, Pastor Gene, because we can all hear. I can make a million zeros.
Yeah, you could.
You know, whatever. But each person has a place. I'm saying this because in each person that has the Lord, that has asked Jesus into their heart, they have the Holy Ghost in their spirit. And the Holy Ghost is the one who speaks to us. So we have to come to that place where we draw in to that Spirit of God within us, and we make a connection.
Draw on Him.
Yeah. So you can only make a connection when you can't make a connection when there's confusion, when there's trouble, when
That's
there's
right.
arguments, when there's all kinds of stuff going around, flying around like a hurricane. Everything's flying around, trying to hit you, wants to hit you. The enemy wants to hit you. You're his target. I'm his target. He wants to hit us. So we got to come inside that place, inside that, if you want to look at it as a circle, inside that place. and come into this, into our spirit where the Holy Ghost is, and we have to get that connection. See, you have to connect up. When this PICC line with it, he has with this medication, I really hate putting it in him because I feel like it's poison, but it's supposed to kill the infection. I'm praying that he'll have that PICC line's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
And you guys can please pray that as well. And it's pretty expensive medication, but that's not the point. It's not the money. It's the, I don't want this foreign stuff going into his body. And so I don't want the infection in there. And also his legs. Pray that the legs will quit swelling, especially the one where he had the hip operation. Because even now as we're doing this, he has to get up and down and stand, because when he sits, his leg swells up. So just pray that. He's walking. He's got the walker. And he's out walking. He walked the block a couple of times this morning. But he doesn't probably need the walker anymore. He's getting to the place where he's probably not going to need anything. But the leg swelling needs to go down because it's in the lymphatic tissue. And so we need to pray that that liquid, that water, will he'll quit retaining that water in his lower part of his body.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So Esther and Mordecai, they had to hear. They had to get directions. And, we know Mordecai was a praying man. Now, I would suggest you read the book of Esther sometime this week, because Purim actually starts on the evening of the 23rd of March.
On our calendar. Mm-hmm.
And it's 3 days that they celebrate. It's called the Feast of Lots, or it's called Purim. But this time with Esther was a lot longer than just 3 days. This all took place over several years.
That's
right. So it's important that you read these. Well, I think there's, 9 chapters or 10 chapters?
12 chapters.
Ten chapters. 10 chapters in this. It's very short. And it's so anointed. It's so anointed to see what these two people did. Two people. Just
right.
Two people.
Two people working together.
Two people.
That's
God
right.
can do something with one person. Look what he did with Moses. But then he called Aaron alongside, didn't he?
Yeah.
He called a priesthood to come alongside. Jesus paid the price. Jesus is kind of like a picture of Moses.
Yeah.
Moses paid a price. But Moses had to have help. And, Jesus has gone back with the Father in heaven. But he sent the Holy Ghost. And so we are the Aarons. We are the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in the New Testament that we're priests and kings. Now, some of you may not think of yourself as a priest or a king. Well, it's because you don't know who you are in Christ. We must know who we are in Christ.
Absolutely.
So here we have this little book of Esther. And I'm just going to read a little bit of the beginning, because I also want to talk about another thing that God has been laid on my heart a little bit. So it says here in chapter 1 that there was a beautiful courtyard made, and it says here it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I think this is showing us a picture of, God's beauty and the colors that they even talk about. If you read it in chapter 1, verses 5 and verses 6 in that chapter, and how everything was in abundance. God has everything in abundance for us. So we can look at this. It says, verse 4 says, when he showed the riches of his glory, glorious kingdom. This is when the king did this. I mean, Ahasuerus was the king that was in Persia at that time. And so he showed this glorious, all his excellency, his majesty, for many days, even for 180 days. 180 days he had this going on, this party going on. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people. See, the king, who is the king? I look at this and I think about God. I think about the king, King Jesus. What did he, we have to look at this in a prophetic way. It is a history. It is a story of about two people, and about the Jewish people. And it's about Persia, because they were all in captivity. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're in captivity. You're in captivity to the devil. So let's look at this with a prophetic eye and look beyond just what the story says, but let's see what God is showing us prophetically in our life. Because everything that we're reading in the Bible needs to pertain to me, to my life, to what God is doing in my life. Well, they happened to be in Shushan. It says, and so when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto the great and small. Isn't God awesome? God doesn't have any greats or any smalls. He looks at all of us the same. And this lasted for 7 days. 7 days. There's God's number seven again. Perfection. In the court of the garden of the king's palace. So you imagine what it's like in the court of heaven. Whoa, glory to Jesus. Have you been to the court of heaven? You know, on Friday nights, we spend time soaking. That's when the Sabbath starts, Friday night, just before dark, when it gets dark. We have our Shabbat, and we spend time soaking in God's presence. You know, you're in God's garden, the court of heaven, the court of heaven. So this was the court of the garden of the king's palace. Well, you know, God has a palace. He's building places for us when we get to heaven. It says here now, in verse 6, it says, where were white and green and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. Can you imagine what's like in heaven? We know there's gold streets in heaven. And all these, God loves color. God loves color. And if you ever visit the church, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, you'll see a lot of color. You'll see color everywhere. Well, it's nothing compared to what the colors that are in heaven. But it's a little bit of heaven, amen, because we come and we bring that presence of that little bit of heaven into our services. And so we have a Torah. We have a Torah opened up, Torah. You know, that's the Word of God, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. People need to read the Torah. It's important. It's the first five books of your Bible. And so we have other things that are there, and we have a fountain, and we have beautiful colors, and it's just awesome. So it's to represent that heaven, this court. So all these beautiful things. And it says, and there were beds of gold and silver upon pavements of red and blue and white and black marble, all these colors. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold. Wow. You know, the vessels of gold. And it says the vessels being diverse one from another. They weren't all alike. Are all of you alike? Are we alike? No. Am I like my husband? No, thank God. And is he like me? No, thank God. We're all different. So here we have all of these vessels. You're a vessel. I'm a vessel. We're all vessels. We're vessels of God. And he wants to pour his wine in us. But he wants to pour in the new wine. See, but we can't hold new wine with old rusty cups. We can't be rusty and dirty and full of filth and pornography and sin and hatred and unforgiveness and strife, all these things. No, we have to have a new wineskins. He gives us new wineskins. And so they're gold. We're treasures. We're like a treasure of gold to the Lord. Amen. So he has all these, and they're all different. And royal wine. Well, what is the royal wine? What is the royal wine in abundance? The royal wine in abundance, as we look at it as a believer, is the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua, our Lord and Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's his precious blood. We take communion, my husband and I, we've been taking communion every night since he got out of the hospital. We stand and we stand in the gap for each other. We agree with each other. We don't murmur and complain, or we try not to murmur and complain. If one of us does, the other one will encourage the other one to get out of it. Get back in the circle. Get back into that place, you know, where your soul lines up with the Spirit. And the Spirit lines up with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And you'll have that sweet communion with him. And you know, your flesh has got to die when you do that. It's just got to die. And so then all those things that people have trouble with, the strife and the arguments and the disagreements and the pain. Yeah, pain. The flesh hurts sometimes. You know, his legs hurt. The pain. But if we can bring it all back into that place where the Spirit is, you know, God can give us that peace and he can remove the pain. So here we have this royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. Well, we know who the king is. What kind of wine is Jesus going to give us? You remember when he gave the wine, when they ran out of wine at the wedding? Well, that was the best wine. They had never tasted wine like that. It was pure wine. It wasn't alcohol. Some people say it was alcohol. It wasn't alcohol. It was fresh right out off the grape. Like if you just took the grape and squeezed it into a glass, it was fresh. And so the juice that we drink, which you know, the grape juice, and you know, some people don't even like to use the red grape juice because it might. I was in a church once and they said, well, we're going to use white grape juice because if we spill it, it might get on the carpet, the kids might get on their clothes. I say, baloney. Jesus' blood is not white. His blood is red. Red as scarlet. And you know, people don't want to talk about the blood of Yeshua. Yeah. It's in the book of Isaiah. It talks about how precious his blood. So we use the red
wine.
Dark wine, yes. Grape juice, not alcohol. Jesus didn't make alcohol.
Yep.
He didn't make alcohol. Jesus doesn't make things that are not pure.
That's right.
And alcohol is not pure. It's not fresh right off the right. Off the vine.
Grape juice has been
Jesus
fermented.
Jesus is. That's right. It's been fermented.
It's old.
It's what goes into old wineskins.
Yeah.
I don't want to get drunk with the old wine. I want to be drunk in the Holy Ghost, drunk with the new wine. So it says here in the royal wine. Now you see I've just read two verses here. And look at all the things that God has shown me about Yeshua.
That's right.
I don't see Jesus' name here anywhere, but I see
everywhere.
The comparison.
That's right.
The heavenly tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
The heavenly court. We go into the court of the heavenly court,
mm-hmm.
And we have the royal wine, and every cup is gold. Each one of you are precious in God's eyes. None of you are made of a wooden cup.
That's right.
None of you are made of. Every cup is gold. Gold is refined. We're to be refined. The Bible says we're to be refined, just as they refine gold. Even gold has to be refined.
That's right.
You know, there's cheap gold and there's really good gold. But the good gold has to be. You know, they take the, what do you call it, off the top of it? Scum. The scum. I call it the scum.
Right. All the sediment that
comes
out.
All the sediment.
Right.
So, you know, and sometimes we still have sediments that we don't realize we have until God starts to deal with us in another area. And he's always dealing with us. Somebody asked me, well, when's this going to be over? I said, never, because God is always working. He's always refining us and wanting us to become more and more like his son, like Yeshua, like Paul. Look at the troubles Paul went through.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Look at all his suffering. Our suffering is nothing, Pastor Gene. Your suffering is nothing compared to what Paul went through.
Yeah.
Amen? So, royal wine in abundance. God has more than enough. One drop of his blood is an abundance because it comes from the Father. It comes from heaven.
Amen.
One drop is enough for the whole universe, for the whole world, for every person.
One drop speaks mercy, doesn't it?
One drop is his mercy. His mercy, his mercy, his mercy.
That's right.
According to the state of the king. So, this is according to God. And the drinking was according to the law. Well, you know what? What is the law? The law is the Torah.
Right. But that law, there's not talking about the Persian law.
I know
law.
That, but I'm thinking about the law of God.
That's right.
According to the law, and you know, everything has, everything in every situation there is a law to follow. You know, you don't drive down the street and when you see a red light, you say, well, I'm going to pretend it's green.
Yeah.
You do that, you're going to get hurt.
So you're going to get a big ticket. Yeah.
Something will happen. Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. For so the king had appointed to all the officers, you know, the king of his house. So the king has authority, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
The king has authority that they should do according to every man's pleasure. So this all happened on the seventh, during these days. And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded his all these people's names, people, his officers, you know, he commanded and he wanted to bring his wife into show her around and
parade her around. Yeah.
Well, you know what? She didn't do it.
Nope.
And I think she made the right decision.
Because they were all drinking and partying.
They were drinking. This wasn't a heavenly party. No.
Sure.
This wasn't God. This was real wine that they were drinking here.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm talking about what God gives is pure. So what they were doing is the wrong thing, and she refused. And so what did they do? They got his officers to said, well, just get rid of her, and we'll find somebody else. So they go out, and he agreed. You know, we shouldn't always agree with
everybody else.
He agreed with the enemy.
That's because Vashti didn't have a thing wrong with her.
You know, when God had threw Lucifer out, God didn't agree with Lucifer.
That's right.
He got rid of him.
Yeah.
He got rid of him. That's right.
He did. Yeah.
So, you know, earthly kings don't have the mind of Christ a lot of the time. So
most of them don't.
We have to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
So we know that this he did not have this, but so happens in the city of Shushan. Were a lot of Jews, and also all through the land of Persia, were lots and lots of Jews.
They were scattered abroad.
All abroad, and of course, there was a man named Mordecai. He was a Jew,
mm-hmm.
and of the tribe of Benjamin, the Benjamins.
That's right.
And he lived there, and he had his family was there, and there was also a young girl, maybe probably in her teens.
Hadassah.
Her name is Hadassah. That's her Jewish name, but her Persian name, which her uncle gave her, was Esther. He said,
and it means star.
It means star,
mm-hmm.
And she was a star. She was a star. Anyway, we're supposed to shine like stars as well.
She was a star for God, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. She was a star. So the suggestion of the king's officials was to go out and bring in all the girls.
Yeah,
go out and gather in all the beautiful girls.
So the king can pick a new queen, huh?
Who knows how many they gathered up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you've ever seen the movie, there's a couple movies out about Esther. It's really good.
Yeah, One Night
really
with the
good.
King.
One Night with the King. It's not exactly factual, but it's really good. He didn't want her to go, but he says, if they come and get you, don't tell them who you are. Hide your identity.
Yes.
Hide your identity. So don't tell them who you are.
Don't tell them you're Jewish.
Don't tell them you're a Jew, right. So, and he just gave her, said, tell them your name is Esther, which was not a Jewish name.
Nope.
No, it was not a Jewish name. So they come and they gather up all of these, who knows how many beautiful young virgins and these maidens, and they take them to the court of the women. And you know, of course, if you read over there in chapter 2, it talks about the purification. They had to have purification for 12 months. That's a whole year.
Whole year.
12 months. According to the manner of the women, purification with what? 6 months of oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors.
She must have really smelled good all the time.
And other things for the purification of women. So yeah. she was trained in the graces, I guess, that they have there in Persia. And she was all the baths and all the oils and all the things that they had to go through. And what did they do? They were able to go one night.
With the king.
With the king. Go spend one night with the king to see if he likes you, right?
Right.
Well, we all know what that means. So when her night came, you know, in the movie, it really portrays it really nice because she didn't lavish herself with lots of gold and lots of silver and lots of hairs and lots of braids and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She went in just as a pure, innocent,
beautiful woman. That's it.
And she found favor with the king. She found favor with the king.
That's right.
Amen. The king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made release of providences and gave gifts according to the king. That's in Esther chapter 2, verse 18. Anyways, she came in. And Esther came in, and the king really liked her. Mm-hmm. Now Mordecai, let's go back to him. He was following her around. He knew exactly where she was at all the time. He kept a close eye on her.
He was outside the gate.
Outside the gate, and he was also out there praying. And he was in sackcloth and ashes. He was a humble man.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't have pride, and you know he wasn't supposed to be doing that, but
that's right.
Was doing that.
He did it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
To bring attention to God and what needed to be done.
That's right. That's right.
For his people.
That's right. That's right. So the king loved Esther above all the women, it says here in verse 17. He loved her above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in the sight of more than all the virgins. So aren't we virgin brides? We're warrior brides unto the Lord, and God loves us.
Amen.
He loves the church. We are the church.
Sure.
The church isn't where you go to worship. No, that's a building. You come together as a body of Christ. The church, you're the church. We're all individually the church.
Ecclesia, we are the church. Jew and Gentile and Messiah.
That's right. So he made this big feast for her and to you know, show her, bring her into this big feast and to honor her. And he set a royal crown upon her head.
Yes, he
and
did.
He made her the queen.
Whoa.
So now she's the queen. The queen has authority too, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
Amen. As she submitted to him, she was given authority. And you know, Mordecai, he heard about all these things. He heard about all these things and how much the king cared for her. And all these things that he was, thank you, Lord. He saw all these things. Now, you know, in chapter 3 talks about there's a man who comes along the scene. And I know we don't have a lot of time here, but his name was Haman.
Oh,
Haman. Haman, boo. Haman was an Agite, and he was advanced. He sat in the seat above all the princesses that were with him. Now, how did he manage to get that? Well, it took generations and generations and generations for him to come to this place of authority. So he was actually put in place next to the king. King
sure.
gave him his ring. He had horses. He had all these things that he needed. He gave him a house. He had a wife. He had 10 sons. He had all these things. And he had his own servants. He had officials. He had people, what you'd call his wise men and his wise wife. Ha ha. Lo ho ho ho.
So he was an ancestor of King Saul way back.
He was an ancestor of King
Saul.
That's
right. Who really did wrong.
Well, King Saul was supposed to have killed all of
all,
the Agites.
That's right.
He was supposed to have killed. If you go back and read that, and it's in the book of...
I forget what's in Numbers.
Anyways, I'll have to let you know that next week if you want to know. We'll look that up. Anyways, it's in the book of the Chronicles. He went back. He was went way back.
Probably
and
in
his,
Samuel.
Samuel. It's in Samuel. That's
yeah.
where it's at. He was... The king, Saul, was supposed to have destroyed all of them, all of their children. Say, well, that doesn't sound like something God should... But you know, God knows the ones that are going to be wicked. Some people are wicked from the start.
He knew the influence it would bring to God's people. Yeah.
They were not to take the spoil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, King Saul didn't do what Samuel told him. Samuel was a prophet. Samuel heard from God.
That's right.
So what Samuel said came from God, and the King Saul should have known that, and I'm sure he
and obeyed
did,
it.
But he didn't obey. Some people hear God, but they don't obey everything God says.
That's right.
They obey maybe only part of it. Well, God doesn't want us to obey part of what he says. He wants us to obey all of what he
tells
says.
Us to do,
all
yeah.
of what he tells us. So he didn't obey them. And so here there were still some Agites left. And they grew. Their generations grew and grew and grew. And then the time comes when this man Haman is now in Persia with all where all the Jewish people are and all this big land. It's the Medes and the Persians. It covered thousands
yeah.
of...
Yeah. Those people were thorns in God's people's side for years, boy.
I don't know how big the area was, but you can go back and look in your maps and...
Persia was a huge empire.
Huge empire.
That's right.
Anyways, he said above all the princesses that were there. And, you know, it says in verse 2 of chapter 3, it says, and the king's servants that were in the king's gates bowed and reverenced Haman.
Yeah.
For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence him. So all of these people were expected to bow before
Haman.
You know, the king made that decree to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really surprises me that a king would say, bow before, you know, anyways. So anyways, but Mordecai didn't do that. So that really bothered Haman because, you know, he saw Mordecai every day at that gate, every day at that palace.
That's
He's
right.
out there in the sackcloth and ashes. He probably thought, look at that scumbag down there on the ground. Look at him making that noise. He's not supposed to be here in front of the palace. I despise him. He won't bow to me. And so he had to have known he was a Jew or something, you know. He won't bow to me. So he just hated that. And he finds out, it says here, because it says over here, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. He was not afraid to speak of who he was.
That's right.
He was not afraid to speak of who he was.
One thing we can learn from this also is that, Haman, his intention to start with was to just destroy Mordecai. Mm-hmm. But the more found out, then that evil he had turned into anger,
and
he wanted to destroy
revenge,
the rest
and
of them.
Wrath.
And that's what happens when we get to a place like that in our lives with anything. And we'll never want that to happen in our lives. But that's what happened with him. Originally, it was an individual, and then it turned into
a mass. That how the enemy works? It usually starts out small, and as people yield to it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then people get angry, the hate comes, and then wrath comes, and that's the worst. And it says that in verse 5, Haman was full of wrath.
He was angry,
that's
really upset.
And he wanted to destroy all the Jews. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Now they're going to know, but not just Mordecai, but the people. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now, so here we have all of the Jews he now wants to destroy. Verse 7 says that it was the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of the king Ahasuerus. So he was 12 years, and they begin to cast pur. So they cast these pur to find out what day to have the battle in. I'm not going to read this whole chapter because it's pretty, it would take a lot of time. But you guys need to read this because it's so powerful. So he offers to give a bribe to the king. He's going to give him money. He's going to give him 10,000 talents of silver, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to give him, that's 750 pounds of silver.
That's right.
That's what I have written in here. I don't know
what it is.
I don't know what silver is going for right now. It might even be more than that.
A lot of money, boy.
Mm-hmm. And the king, he took off his ring from his hand and he gave it to Haman, the son of the Hamadites, the Agite. The Jews' enemy. So he gives his ring and he gives his to this wicked Haman, and of course he's gonna, because he wants to kill the Jews. He wants to kill the Jews. So he's giving him authority. So they plan on these days, and
the king never even questioned what he has to have done.
He didn't even question what he had to do.
Yeah.
He just took it by, just did it.
Just
trusted Haman. So he sealed, and so he gave him this writing to kill the people, right? And it was sealed with the king's ring. So once there is a seal, something sealed with a king's ring, you can't.
In the Persian Empire, can't be changed.
You can't change it. Jesus, we are sealed with His blood.
Amen.
We're sealed with His blood, and so we're saved, but we're in the process of being perfected.
Amen.
And
we're a work in progress.
But Bible says, be perfect as I am perfect. Doesn't it say that?
Amen.
So we're in the process of being perfected, but we're sealed. Our salvation is sealed by the blood of Jesus. That's
Thank
our
you,
seal,
Lord.
The blood
yes.
of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So what did they, what it said on the paper was to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all the Jews. And I'm reading in verse 13 of chapter 3. All the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey.
That's it.
And a copy was written for the commandment to be given in every province, was published unto all the people. So they had these signs put on all the telephone poles.
Nail it up there, right?
Nail it to every doorpost.
Excuse
Amen.
Me.
I know they didn't have telephone poles, but I thought that was kind of cute. And so anyways, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out being by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace.
Took
a while to get those all around. It's a big area.
On horseback and all, yeah.
And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. They were really shooken. They were shaken.
Shaken, yeah.
When Mordecai perceived all that was done. I'm in chapter 1 of verse 4, of chapter 4, verse 1. Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter
howling
cry.
And anguish. And
so now he's got put it on these sackcloth and he put ashes on himself. Wasn't Ash Friday.
No, Ash Wednesday.
No. He put ashes on himself and he went out into the city and he cried. Not just at the king's gate. Now he's crying. And he came even before the king's gate.
That's right.
For none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth.
That's right.
No one could do that.
He did it anyhow.
No one could do that. But he did it, didn't he?
That's right.
So there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So many of them joined Mordecai.
That's right.
You know, some of them bowed to Haman, the Agite. Some of those Jews bowed because they had fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when people are some people are Christians, and if they're in certain circumstances or certain places or in certain jobs, some people don't even know they're a Christian.
That's right.
Because they keep it. It's like a secret.
Like a secret thing.
Being a Christian is not a secret.
That's right.
No, everybody should know that you're a Christian.
That's it.
Everyone, every person. Yes. So Esther's maids and chambermaids came and told her. So she was grieved. She was exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiments to Mordecai. So he put on some clothes, you know, get out of those. She didn't want him out there. That's an embarrassment. But, you know, he had a purpose.
So they communicated each other with servants mm-hmm. and went back and forth and mm-hmm. told what was going on. Yeah,
that's right. Then called Esther for Adasha, one of the king's chambermaids, whom he had appointed to attend to her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So he went forth to Mordecai into the streets of the city, which was before the king's gate. Excuse me. And Mordecai told him all that had happened and the sum of the money that Haman promised to pay to the kings.
It's a fortune, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
To kill all the Jews, you know. So it's a lot of money that he bribed the king, in other words, and the money just, I guess, totally blinded him. And so he went ahead and signed a decree without even asking any really details about it at all, and just took took Haman's word for that, and they cast lots and came up with a month and the day that they were going to come out and destroy the Jewish people.
So he told, Mordecai told, this servant that, and he went back and he told Queen Esther, and you know, and so she had to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have a time to make a decision.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. A lot of different things we have to make decisions on. That's right.
And so, you know, his plea was that she would go into and plead before the king. Well, she hadn't been before the king in 30 days, and you don't go before the king unless the king invites you.
That's it.
And when the king, and if you do go, he has a scepter. That's the scepter of authority.
Check.
You know, God has a scepter. And you know what he sees when we're received? The blood of Yeshua.
Amen.
But she had to go before the king. And she said,
I'm going to go regardless. If I die, I die. Yeah.
Yeah.
She knew she had to do it. And so, of course, we know God was right in the middle
of
all
hadn't
that.
Gone, so she hadn't gone before the king.
Nope.
For 30 days, it says here. And I'm just trying to think where to go on here because I don't want to read the whole book.
And we're only so down, you need we got to about, read. We've got about a little over three minutes to go here.
Are you kidding? We're down to 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I've been talking this much. Oh, well, then I'm just going to stop. You guys got to have to read this. We'll finish this next week.
Remember where you
leave
off.
But I want to tell you here that we are now in the month of this time. We'll start on the 23rd of this month. So, you know, people are going to be celebrating Easter during the time of
Purim.
It's a whole month off. Easter isn't, if you're going to go according to the Bible, Nisan isn't for over another 30 days.
That's right.
And Jesus didn't die until Passover. He didn't die at this time.
Gotta stay on the biblical calendar.
So those who are teaching these things, they don't know the truth. The Bible says the truth will make us free.
Amen.
We're still in the month of Adar. You need to have a Jewish calendar. You need to follow the feasts of the Lord. You need to listen to Pastor Gene. He teaches about all the feasts of the Lord. It's in his book. So we're coming up on Passover. I mean, on Purim, which will start on the 23rd and 24th and 25th of this month. That's when it's celebrated. It's called the Feast of Lots or Purim. And you know what? Passover is not until next month.
Tried.
Passover is not until next month, which would be the 22nd. It would begin on the 22nd of April.
So if we think about this on the calendar every year, no matter if it's a 2 Adar year, think about it. Purim is always 30 days before Passover.
So those who are taking up offerings for Passover are a whole month off.
A month off.
Where in the time of giving gifts is at Purim, not at Passover.
That's
Jesus
right.
gave his gift of his life at Passover.
That's right.
So those who are teaching the wrong thing, we need to be on the right page. You need to get in the right page of your Bible and you need to know the calendar. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be on this radio program every Saturday, Lord willing. If you'd like a copy of this, you can go back and listen to this on the internet or on your telephone. We have services here in Stewart Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So give us a call. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007.
So we have our Shabbat on Friday night at 7. We have our Bible school at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and then our morning meeting with God is at 10 on Sunday morning. So we're always honored to be with you. And so there's some other things I'd like to say here, but we're going to hold off. There's some interesting things about King Ahasuerus and all, and about when he wound up marrying Esther, some things in history that people really don't know about. Because I'll just say this, Ahasuerus was a title.
Yes.
Just like the pharaohs all had the title pharaoh, but their names
yes.
are different. So we'll tell you next week who this Ahasuerus was and what happened in history. And it'll just open your eyes and the windows to show what God's wanting us to know even this day and this hour. So as we close this program, we're on here because we love people. We want to see them raised to a new place and to have an understanding of what God wants us to know. The biblical calendar, not our solar calendar, the lunar calendar, all of God's appointed times, so we'll be in tune what he's doing all through the year. And so this is a wonderful time coming up called Purim. So as we close this program every week, we tell you, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest. And our Purim program will be on the 3rd of April.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.